It is my favourite time of week, though, where we delve into the history of this weird and wonderful city of ours. I've been promised today is a doozy, and Rachel Franks from Dictionary of Sydney joins us now. Rachel, good morning.
Good morning, Tess. How are you going?
I'm going really well, thanks. What are we taking a look at today?
Today we're taking a quick look at Australia's oldest cold case. So tomorrow, the 26th of August, marks the 215th anniversary since the brutal murder of Joseph Luker, who was also the first officer of the law to be killed in the line of duty.
Double barrel.
That's right.
Yeah, wow.
So he was investigating a robbery down in the area that today is Phillip Street, Sydney. A desk had been stolen and he ended up being set upon by a gang of thugs who killed him in the most brutal manner. So several weapons were used on the poor young constable, who was only in his mid to late 30s. They belted him with the desk that had been stolen. He was also bashed with the frame of a wheelbarrow. And police officers back then used to carry cutlasses, sort of like a long sword with a little bit of a point at the end, a little bit of a curve. Very pirate-esque on the streets of Sydney. But his weapon was taken from him and he was also stabbed multiple times.
Oh, that's horrible. Where did they get a wheelbarrow from?
Look, who knows? They suspect that because of the number of weapons that were used and the number of injuries inflicted upon him, that it was at least three men who assaulted him, and there was absolutely no intention that he was going to survive this attack. Where they got their weapons from, obviously the cutlass was his own weapon, so that's a bit of a sad turn of events. He probably drew it to try and defend himself and was just overpowered.
Not so much like you see in the pirate movies, didn't quite go that well for him.
No, not a swashbuckling end for him, I'm afraid. And because forensic science wasn't then what it is today, despite the fact that there were strong suspects and they found men covered in blood, they weren't actually able to prove that it was the blood of Constable Luker. And so nobody was actually punished for his murder.
Oh, no way. And they found people covered in blood.
That's right. So one chap turned around and said, oh, no, this isn't the blood of the victim. I slaughtered a pig this morning. And another person was able to get away by saying, oh, for a very long time I've had nosebleeds.
What?
And because there was no way to prove otherwise, they actually got away with what we see today as quite outrageous defences.
So I've got a nosebleed. My mate here slaughtered a pig. Also, we haven't changed since this morning.
That's right.
This is fine. This is normal behaviour.
Don't you worry about the corpse over there. I mean, poor Luca, the conservative newspaper of the day, you know, is sort of still being censored by the government, but there was real panic when this body was found, and they didn't hold back. They published that a breathless corpse, shockingly mangled, and with the guard of the cutlass buried in his brain.
Ooh.
The sheath lay near the body and his hat more than 20 yards distant. So there you have it, a colonial crime scene described in the Sydney Gazette.
This is a lot more brutal than I sort of initially was thinking.
It's incredibly violent crime, and people would have been quite frightened that, you know, it was still a small population. You had a very humble police force, only a few men really looking after the whole city as it was in the early 1800s. And one of them had been brutally attacked and slain in this way. And a couple of the suspects were actually other constables.
No way.
So oldest cold case, first copper to be killed while doing his job, but potentially also a police cover-up in early 1803 as well.
This man, this poor guy's got a lot of records you don't want.
That's right.
So I suppose you mentioned, I guess, everyone was in a bit of a panic. after this body was found, you know, I suppose it was just left in broad daylight. That must have been pretty confronting.
Well, that's right. And then obviously the body was taken away and there was some preliminary investigations, and it was found that he had been the victim of willful murder. So at least forensics was good enough to say, no, this wasn't an accident.
Mm. The guy with a cutlass in his head,
that's right,
may have been murdered.
But there just wasn't sufficient evidence to successfully prosecute anyone for murder. They did manage to pin the robbery of the desk on one of the suspects, but that was as far as they got. So it was a crime that was talked about a lot. It was in the newspaper quite a lot, and people were still writing about it and publishing it in books about Sydney many years later as sort of the turning point of crime in Sydney.
The turning point. That's an interesting point, because we've had, you know, the razor gangs. We've had a lot of pretty wild crime in Sydney. The turning point, that's a big call.
Well, it really did spark fear in Sydney that anybody could be a victim of a really dreadful assault such as this one. If an officer of the law is vulnerable, then, you know, what for the average citizen. But it was so memorable. It was the first story to be serialised in an Australian newspaper. So there'd been lots of little crime snippets in the Sydney Gazette, but they were really quite brief and very, very basic reportage. So-and-so was charged, so-and-so was punished. But this one, there were many articles every week about the crime right up until the end of the year for a crime that was committed in August.
Wow.
Which was a lot of page real estate back in colonial Australia.
It's such a wild story, Rachel. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Tess.
Rachel Franks there from Dictionary of Sydney. Dictionaryofsydney.org, of course, is where you can go and find out any more information you may want to know. Newsroom will be back very soon.